Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, isn't he good? He sure is. Help me out. I'll be seasick before the service is over with. Is that good? Yeah, I could probably jump up on that. Nah. Oh, it's good to be in the house of God. It really is, with the people of God sharing his presence and loving his presence and experiencing his presence. And he's good. Man, he's good. I'd like to talk with you just for a moment. You know, how many of you know that the Bible does say, make your plans, but let me order your steps. Man makes his plans, the Lord orders his steps. But if you're not used to taking orders from the Lord, you'll just do what you planned. And that might not be what he's wanting you to do at that moment. You know, the other week I was going to talk to you about the last week of Jesus' life going up to his crucifixion. You know, we didn't get to do that, but I'm fine with it because he did something else. And then this week I was going to talk about the week after his resurrection. And I'm going to share a few things, not many. Sort of majoring on a couple of things. But I want to first tell you that he is the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? It means that he raised people from the dead while he was on the earth. Before he is ever resurrected, he raised people from the dead. But that was temporary. When he was raised from the dead, it was eternal. Jesus is the anointed one. Christ is not his name, his last name. Christ means the anointed one. That's the reason Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Thou art the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And the Lord told him, he said, man did not reveal that to you. That came straight from the throne of God, from Father. Revelation is huge. When God begins to open up and reveal things to us, and we actually take them in and let that be a part of our living. How many of you know that people are not really just looking for Christians? Amen. Creation is not looking just for Christians. All of creation is groaning and looking for the manifestation of the sons of God, not the children of God. We have been children, we still are children, but we should be becoming the sons of God, the weos of God in the Greek. That means the ones that are growing up in him. Amen. They're looking, creation, all of God's creation, all of what he's created is in a groaning process. Rocks, trees, grass, everything, the dirt is groaning. To see Christians grow up and manifest who he is. So our job's not done when we say yes to Jesus. When we say, I want your forgiveness and I give you my sin and I accept your righteousness. That's just the beginning of our manifesting. They want to see us at a place to where no matter what happens, we're still walking with Him. We're still talking to Him. And He's still talking to us, and we're still revealing who He is. That's the reason this earth, this world is in a groan to see that happen. And a lot of the church has just become complacent of just being saved, and that's it. He wants us to grow up and become sons and daughters who manifest His presence in our living, in our loving, in our life. No matter how we're treated, we'll still manifest who He is. You know, God wants us to be so free that nothing hinders our journey in becoming the sons of God. In manifesting who He is. He wants us to be so free that nothing hinders that. Amen. How many of you know God has got all of this? He's in charge. Amen. He is in charge. Jesus modeled on this earth how somebody who is 100% human, 100% man, He also was 100% God. 100% man under the influence of being empowered by and led by the Holy Spirit. He showed us how it was done. And we are to become like Him. People who have been touched by the presence of God in such a way that we won't be held back from the journey. Yes, we will trip, fall, be incomplete in our walk, even though we're complete in Him and we're sit in heaven with Him spiritually. In our journey, in this life of our habits, our speech, the way we act, our behaviors, is a process that we're all involved in. One of the things I'll speak to you about, because it sort of goes along with it, and where I really think the Holy Spirit's leading us is to this place that God prepared people. He prepared freedom for people, even those that were here on this earth before Christ came and died. The Bible says over in Luke, it says that Jesus gives this example, and he says there's a man that was rich and had everything, and there's a man named Lazarus who was poor and didn't have anything hardly and ate crumbs. Both of them died. Said the angels took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, and the other man was buried. Then he lifted up his eyes from hell and saw Lazarus far off in a place of comfort. See, that place of comfort was designed by God for all of those who died before Christ paid for their sins. The plan was already in place that those that died, and they died in faith. You remember Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about by faith. Moses did this by faith. Noah did this by faith, and all. And those were before Jesus. So they died in faith in God, but payment had not been made for their sin. So they were in Abraham's bosom, and that's where Christ went when he died. He went into the lower parts of the earth to set the captives free. Those who were in captivity, he led them out of that place. Why? Actually, Peter says this over in 1 Peter. It says that he went to that place and made the proclamation to those who were in prison. What did he proclaim? Think about it for a minute. What he died and now he's entered. See, the Bible says that he's ascended, but before he ascended, he descended. He had a work to do to go get those who died in faith in Abraham's bosom. So what was the... Do what?
The bond has been paid.
Yeah. Yeah, bond. Bailed him out. Bond. Eric, do you know anything about being bailed out?
I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, see, you've been in jail, right?
Several times.
Listen, the only reason I can talk about that is because I see him now. He was that. But he is this now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So posting bond. But what happened was on that, he said, Jesus made the proclamation, your sins have been paid for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on with me. That's the proclamation. That's a great, isn't that great?
Yeah.
How many of you can say, my sins have been paid for? My sins have been paid for. So he goes and gets those, and he's, those are, no, what were they in captive? What were they in captivity for? What were they in bondage to? Even after death, what was they in bondage to? Sin. What held them captive, even though after death, what held them captive was sin. The payment for sin had not been paid eternally. Jesus did that. I'm sure the proclamation probably is something like this. The Lamb of God has died and paid for your sin. The blood has been shed. Come on with me. And on his way up, this is amazing to me. It really is. On his way up, because he's ascending now, at that time, in Ephesians 4, it says that he's ascending, and on his way up, guess what he sees? A woman crying at the tomb. Mary Magdalene. The one who had seven devils in her, seven demons in her that he cast out of. So, I don't know about you guys. I like to look at the Bible in the reality we've got this, but the Bible says that there's a lot of other things that happened and said that not written. I'm imagining he's got this group of people, and then all of a sudden he sort of stops, and he's going to talk to Mary. Y'all hold up right here. She does not know who he is. She thinks he's a gardener. And he asks her a couple questions. Who are you seeking? Why are you weeping? She doesn't know who he is until he says her name. Then he said, Mary. She turned and knew that it was him. And the Bible said that she clinged to him. That word cling means to get up, Eric, get up. Turned and said, Mary, or Terry, how about that? And then turns and see who, and she grabs him. She attaches herself. That word means she attached herself to him. I'm hanging on to you.
I'm hanging back. I ain't letting
See, it was that thing that now she sees who he is. He's no longer dead. And he says, don't cling to me because I have not ascended yet. So to me, he sort of puts his ascension on, at that point in time, on hold just for one that was weeping at the tomb. You and I have been that one that he came after. And he called your name. He called my name. And I'll jump over to the disciples. They're in the room. They come. Mary's got to go tell them. They come and they seek. They're looking for him. They look in. He's gone. And the Bible says that after that, they went to their home. And then it goes on that the disciples were in this room and afraid. They're next. They saw what they did to Jesus. They're next. They're afraid, and Jesus just appears in the room, just shows up. They're all doubting. They're all fearful, and they're all doubting. And he begins, he says, and Mary was talking about that this morning in Sunday school. He said, peace unto you. Peace be unto you. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that and it really not do that much good? It didn't do much good for them either. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that he showed them his hands and feet and showed them where he had been wounded and crucified. And then the Bible says, then they were glad to see him. Yeah. Then they were glad to see him. Then peace came. Why? Because they saw the results of his work. They saw the results of his payment. Have you ever been afraid and somebody try to calm you down and say, just be at peace, calm down, but it doesn't work? The reality of that, sometimes that happens. But when he, listen to this, but when he manifests himself to you,
amen.
Peace happens.
Amen.
And now he's showing himself to you. So who are you looking for? He goes on, and I'm just this one last thing that we'll talk about. He says, as the Father, he says, peace be to you. Again, that's the second time he said it. Because he's already, now that time it stuck. Because they saw who he is. They didn't recognize him. Mary didn't recognize him. So if he's only going to look like, if you have an image of him that only looks like a charismatic, when he shows up like a Baptist, you're not going to recognize him. When he shows up like a Methodist, you're not going to recognize him. We can't, he just needs to be who he is.
Hallelujah.
And we need to make sure that we did not put him in a box again.
Amen.
Not the ark. See, in the ark, there was the manna, which was God's provision. There was the almond branch, which was our identity. And then there were the commandments, which was his life, his promises. He's not in a box anymore.
Hallelujah.
There's a song, Dan, there's a song that I know you've sang here before, you led before, and it talks about of all the creation that he chose to dwell in, he chose you. I don't know the name of that. You remember? Yeah. But that's what it's talking about. Of all the creation that he chose to dwell in, he chose you.
Hallelujah.
So we're the temple. We are the temple. But anyway, he says, peace be unto you. Then he says this, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. This is the first commission. Now, there's more commissions coming, but this is the first one. You know what he did next? Received the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, I have sent you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Which meant they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them at that time. So when I study this and I look deeper and I reflect and I ponder and I meditate and I think about this, I'm like, this is their first commission. It comes later when he says, go ye into all the world and make disciples. He did that. He made disciples. Then they received the Spirit. So here's the first commission, and here's what I want to sort of leave you with. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. There's two things in that passage I want to make a note of that are for you and I as we have been commissioned to do. What's the first one? Speak. In that passage, what did he do first? He spoke peace. You remember when Jesus said, when you go into the houses, what do you speak? Peace. Release peace. We live in a world that doesn't know what peace looks like. Peace looks like something without conflict.
Amen.
That's the world's peace, something without conflict. Kingdom peace is a person. And it's the presence of a person.
Amen.
So what's your first commission? Bring peace to other people. Release peace to other people. Speak peace to other people. When it's bad, when the situation looks terrible for other people, release peace. Speak peace be unto you. Brenda does that a lot. She does that a lot when she's praying for people. I listen to her. She'll say, peace be unto you. Why is that? Because she has peace.
Amen.
How does she have peace? She has the Prince of Peace. And she acknowledges the Prince of Peace inside her. So she releases that peace. Release the peace. Just stop the waitress for a moment and said, can I say something to you? Peace be unto you. I just want to release peace to you. First commission. What's the next one? What's the next part of that first commission? Release his presence. That's what he did. He released the presence to them. He released the presence of the Holy Spirit to them. We have been granted the honor and the privilege to carry His presence. We are the arks. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So release His presence to people. But have a consciousness that you can. Have a consciousness in you. Hold on to that fact that you can, because that's what He said. As I've been sent, I'm sending you. He released peace and He released His presence. And that's what we need to do. Amen. People, no matter who we run into, people are wanting that. But we have to hold on to the consciousness that I've been sent. Look at somebody and say, you have been sent. See, we can look at each other and say, are you saved? Well, ask them, are you saved? If they're not, if you're not, tell them, no, I'm not saved. Then get saved. But it's not just about being saved, it's about being sent. We are sent.
Amen.
We are sent people. Sent to do what? Bring peace. What else am I supposed to do? Release His presence. Say what He's saying. Do what He's doing. But we've been granted that privilege. To release peace to people. And to release His presence to people. The world is waiting. People are waiting. They don't know what they're waiting for. They've been stuck in addictions. They've been stuck in a lot of different places. They're just waiting on you to show up. Waiting on you to come into their life by God's choice. And for you to be able to release what's inside you from Him to other people. Well, how much seminary do I have to do that? None. Nothing wrong with seminary, but if you think you have to be educated to do that, you don't. Because these men were ignorant. They viewed those men as ignorant men, but they took note that they had what? Been with Jesus. So you're sent today. Wherever you're going, that's where you'll be. But you will be sent by Jesus to go there. To give peace to people. But if you don't have peace, you can't give peace. John, give me $1,000. You ain't got $1,000, no? I asked him for $1,000. What did he give me? It's a trick question. It's a trick question. What did he give me? What he had. Oh my goodness. No, he gave you a piece of peppermint. Yeah. It's not about the peppermint. It's about giving away what you got.
Amen.
Giving away what you had. Amen. Giving away what you have. Give people peace, not a piece of candy. I might just keep that. Oh, here. Okay. Consciousness. That he lives, and He lives inside me. And He lives inside you if you're born again. And all He wants us to do is give away what He's given us. all the love, all the peace, all the hope that we have. But if you're without hope, you remember I told you once before there was a magazine years and years ago. I think it was Newsweek. It might have been Time magazine. And the author of this article said, right when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and found her to be just like us. Didn't have anything to give. And that came out of an article. That I think it was in Time magazine. We turned to the church, but we found out that she was just like us. Fearful, anxiety, desperate, no hope. That's not who we are. That's not what we have. We have the one who was raised from the dead, the first fruit. The first raised from the dead. Okay, everybody stand up. So what do you need to know? We're sent. What are you sent to do? Give people peace. Speak peace to people. Speak peace to people. Speak peace to people. Then what? Release his presence. There's people waiting for you and I.
Amen.
To do what we've been sent to do. Amen. And in the process of that, we will be growing up and manifesting the maturity of ones who have heard Jesus, accepted Jesus, know Jesus, been taught by Jesus, and now live the life through Jesus. See, the life that we live is what? It's God's life. He's living through us.
Yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Yet not I.
I live by the faith of God.
Woo! Amen. Is that true?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So we sang the blessing song, and it's so powerful. There's so much anointing in it. See, what the enemy thought he had done by taking Jesus to his death, he thought he would put an end to the work of God. He thought he would put an end to the anointing of God. What he didn't realize is he opened the door for millions, multitudes of people to be anointed to do the work of God. So let's go do it. Amen. Tell somebody you are anointed and you are sent. And if you've been told that, you say, yes, that is true. Amen. We'll go out these doors and we will give peace to people and we'll release the presence of God to those that we're around. Father, thank you so much for your life, your word, your presence. And Lord, help us to capture, to be able to see inside who you are in us, and that we have nothing to fear, and that we have been sent by you to accomplish your great work. for your glory and for the benefit of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.